Are you messed up and don't even know it? Find out right here with Sharon Bennett Live on the Marketing Pulpit.
Marketing Pulpit. I am your host, Sharon Bennett, and I say it all the time because I really do mean it. It's such a delight to have you with us here on the Marketing Pulpit, and to all my faithful listeners who have been with me since day one, you are the best. Thank you so much for your encouragement, and for those who may be new to the Marketing Pulpit today, welcome. Just want to welcome you and also let you know if you have a question, or if you just want to make a comment here on the Marketing Pulpit, the show is live, and you can dial in at 215-383-3872, 215-383-3872. And if you push option one, you will be put into the queue for questions. We're more than happy to ask your questions. Also, please check us out at www.marketingpulpit.com. where you can be up to date on the things and happenings with Marketing Pulpit. Today, we have another great show lined up for you. My co-host therapist, Ira Lake, has been on the go. He has been promoting his book, getting questions and comments, doing seminars. And, of course, we are delighted to have him back with us today. Therapist, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be back with you.
Well, we're glad to have you back. You have been just on the move, and I share with the listening audience that you have been getting some wonderful responses from your book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. How did things go with you the past few weeks?
You know, people are asking for it. They're asking me to come, and I've been sharing things about trauma and how it affects you, things that I've been sharing with you on this show. And the response has been overwhelming. I'm on the move again a couple of weeks, and I'm headed to South Carolina.
I know. I am so excited. I am just so excited. And I knew when I read the book, when I first heard about it and saw it, I was like, we've got to have that on the show because it's just good information. We are going to be starting with case study number 6 from your book.
Yes.
But before we do that, I would like for you to just comment on a few things that I have found very interesting in regards to trauma. When we talk about trauma and childhood trauma and how it affects you as an adult, I've spoken to an edu specialist who's worked with families and children, teaching families how to train their children and educators how to train children. And they are constantly saying that the brain is like a blank sheet of paper when a child is little. Tell us about your thoughts as far as the brain of children when they're little, how important it is to give them positive lessons, because we're talking about trauma, the first impressions or lasting impressions for a baby. And sometimes when they are experiencing trauma, it affects certain parts of the brain. I thought it was so interesting, some of the things that I was reading, how childhood trauma can be a negative experience, but also affects the brain. And it was talking about how the building blocks of the brain start at the bottom and not at the top. And when children feel safe and nurtured, they spend more time in the upper building blocks of their brain. And when they don't, they spend more time at the bottom level of the brain, which causes less development of the upper brain, possible smaller brain sizes, fewer brain connections. But not only that, therapist, when they focus in that lower region, they have difficulty focusing, paying attention. They're very anxious. They're unable to settle down. The possibilities of bullying and other aggressive behavior manifest themselves. Tell me what your thoughts are about that.
Well, I know that by the time an infant is 3 years old, 80% of their brain is developed. And the first 5 years of a child's life is when the majority of their personality is developed. Their brain functioning, like I just said, is, you know, formed and developed 80% of their brain. And so it's very impressionable. And while a baby, a child in that young age cannot articulate, his brain and his memory is storing all of it up. And later he or she is able to articulate what they've seen, how it made them feel. But those first, like you said, those first few years, the first impressions are lasting ones. Primarily because mothers are the primary caregivers, they hold the key to a lot of the development of a child or infant's brain. The reading, the singing, the sharing, the talking to language. A baby, by the time he or she is 18 months, should have enough linguistic ability to be able to articulate a few words. Empathy is developed by the time a child is two. And where do they learn that from? They learn it at the foot of their mother or, you know, a parent early on. So this is the most important period in a child's life.
It's so interesting that you say that. A lot of these traumas happen when people are children and how it affects their adult life, but it also affects work life. And for those who may be listening, you're probably wondering, well, what does this have to do with the Marketing Pulpit, where our mission is to build strong businesses that we can put people to work? It has a lot to do with it, and when we come back, we're going to delve deeper into this topic, messed up and don't even know it, the journey from childhood trauma to healing, a book written by my co-host, therapist Ira Lake, right here on the Marketing Pulpit when we come back.
Did you know that you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit 6 days a week? That's right, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. You can listen to the Marketing Pulpit, where our mission is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. Just go to our website, www.marketingpulpit.com, to get more information on how you can tune into the Marketing Pulpit 6 days a week. And also check out our directory. It's free. If you're a business owner, put your information in our directory so that our listeners can find out about your products and services right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
We are talking today about a very interesting topic. Not only is it interesting, it is an important topic, which is why I have it on my show, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. How does it all interrelate? Well, you know, the mission of the Marketing Pulpit is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. But the most important aspect of a business are its people. You've heard therapists say that many times, and it's true. And a lot of people, employees, employers, managers, CEOs, have dealt with trauma but have not actually gone to have their trauma fixed or gone to counseling. So we're talking today about why it's so important to do that, because if you have unhealthy employees who are not happy, they're not functioning properly, then that means your productivity at work, the revenue at work could possibly suffer as well. So we're discussing this today. And therapists, I wanted to just touch a little bit in the beginning about how important it is for people to understand how trauma affects children and how that perpetuates itself when they become adults. And Dr. Burgess Chamberlain wrote a really nice piece about the amazing brain therapist. And she was mentioning as well in this piece, and I want to get your feedback on this, how trauma or post-traumatic syndrome damages the brain. and that it occurred, what occurs is the brain gets stuck in that trauma and relives that trauma over and over again. And I remember on several cases you mentioned how when your clients come to you in these case studies that sometimes they relive that trauma and you have to get through that. Tell us about that.
Well, like you said, they relive it over and over, as the doctor had mentioned in an article. And what we try to do in the counseling atmosphere is we try to take them through that trauma lens by lens, scene by scene, to dissect it, to process it. And a lot of it has to do with them understanding that maybe they weren't the cause of it, blamed for it, what they did or didn't do. And as they come to that realization, and it's a painful process. It's almost like they're telling their story and they're actually reliving it. And it brings up a whole lot of pain and hurt. And we deal with the feelings, the emotions of that, the physical effect that it has had on your body. And we just take our time and go through that bit by bit, line by line. And before you know it, they begin to see themselves as, you know what, I didn't do anything. I was a victim. And we talk about the power of forgiveness and how we can move on, how to reconcile. It's a pretty detailed, intense process, but it works. It really does.
I tell you, and I'm going to say it again, this book, listeners, if you don't have this book, you need to go and get this book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. You can get this book on Amazon, and you can also get it at therapist's website, www.emtasic.org.com. Therapist, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. I just don't know if our listeners are aware as to how powerful the effects of childhood trauma are. One of the things that I thought was so interesting, therapist, was when children feel unsafe or they feel like they're threatened, they spend more time in the lower building blocks of their brain focusing on survival.
Mm-hmm.
Survival, not anything else. But survival. And so what happens, the brain becomes oversensitized to stress. That's amazing.
Yes.
To me, that children.
Yes.
Deal with that when they're so little, and that children experiencing early childhood trauma, as you mentioned in your book, are overwhelmed with just tiny stressors, schedule changes, routine changes, and some of the problems that associate themselves could possibly be bedwetting. They don't learn as well as other children. Academics can become an issue. But when children feel safe and calm, they can focus their energy on learning. And therapists, you know, I don't think we really think about that. Children that are stressed, like you said, early childhood trauma, they have to spend more of their time thinking about surviving as opposed to learning.
Yes. Yes. A couple other things to throw in there. There is poor concentration on anything, school, work, poor concentration skills. Where it really shows up is in poor social skills. They're either aggressive or they tend to be socially withdrawn. You have some, and not a lot are aggressive, but you'll have some, but socially withdrawn. They don't know how to act around other people because they just don't feel safe. They could be in a mall and feel threatened, stressed out. It could be on a bus. It could be in a restaurant. It just affects everything about them, about their life. And when you're stressed out, and some of the first things that we do, that I do, when I meet with a person that's been traumatized, we might take 3 or 4 sessions, and I teach them how to relax their minds and their bodies. When their minds are cluttered and their bodies are tense, poor decision-making, they're going to react, and they're going to actually almost relive everything. The nervous system turns on, and they stay in fight or flight mode. And if a person stays in fight or flight mode for so long, the nervous system never shuts down. So you're always living on the edge of, I've got to either fight or run. And literally, the body releases cortisol, and it's a natural thing, but it's designed to basically, fuel you through. But when the nervous system is always turned on, the body is continually releasing cortisol. And what we know about it is it will literally eat you up from the inside out. So we teach them how to breathe, breathing techniques, how to relax the mind, how to clear it. And what we found that is when, again, when the mind is clear and the body is relaxed, people's perspective changes, enlarges, and they can make better decisions. That's either on your job, in your personal relationships, in your own life. Stress is like major.
I am so glad, and I'm going to keep saying it until we finish this, messed up and don't even know it, the journey from childhood trauma to healing. It's just interesting to me how you equated childhood trauma to adult healing. I don't think many of our listeners understand that sometimes when you're dealing with issues or you find that you don't deal with problems rationally or you're very aggressive, that it has a lot to do with what has happened in the past in your childhood. Understanding that traumatized children as well, therapist, which is something I'm sure you knew already, but traumatized children sometimes have other health issues, speech problems, difficulty learning how to read. And not only that, but they also may experience stomach problems and chronic headaches. Children going through these symptoms, those sound like adult symptoms, which means it could be carried from childhood to adulthood, and that these children often start using alcohol and drugs at an early age just to cope or to numb their feelings. Do you find that, or have you found that in some of your cases, that adults have used that for a long time to deal with their pain?
I have found that. I presently have seven of my clients are serious drug abusers. And when we break down their story, it stemmed from the trauma they experienced in childhood. And let me say this, not all trauma is mental, physical, or sexual abuse. One of the clients that I put in that book, his name is Jimmy, and he was never abused physically. Mm-hmm. Mentally, verbally, but he lived in an area of Los Angeles that is still today one of the worst cities in North America. Crime every day, an average of 6 people are killed every day, on average, every day. Community violence is also a form of trauma. And when you get exposed to violence and you see death regularly, you see murders on a regular basis, it has an impact on your ability to function. And that's the case with Jimmy in our book.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because what I want our listeners to understand, because sometimes listeners don't understand, well, you're an adult, you should be able to deal with it, handle it, just get over it. What I want listeners to understand is that when you're young, and you experience trauma, and as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be physical, mental, sexual, but you experience trauma, especially at a young, early age, it affects your brain. It affects your ability to function, and I was going to say normally, therapist, but what is normal? But it affects your ability to function in the real world. Worry, stress, depression.
Yes.
And can you imagine living with those symptoms for years and years until you are an adult? That becomes your normal. Your normal. One of the things that I found interesting as well, and I want to go to case study number 6, is their triggers. You know, sometimes what a person smells, what they hear, could be a trigger to going back to those childhood traumas. I think it's very important for our listeners to understand, therapists, that people can't just get over these types of things, that it takes a lot of work. And not only that, but therapists like you that are able to identify the problem. If you don't mind, share with us what your thoughts are on such statements as just get over it. You're an adult. You should be able to move past these issues, grow up. Tell me what your thoughts are on statements like that.
when we don't understand something, we try to minimize it from a society point of view or a personal view. When we don't understand something, we minimize it. And then also ingrained and taught us, and that's just any culture, any people group, is stay away from help. We can fix ourselves. I mean, everything in this country, in Western civilization, is about you can do your thing. You can be whoever you want to be. You can fix yourself. You don't need anybody. Asking for help is seen as a sign of weakness. And so we grow up thinking that, hey, we will handle it. But there are some things that we are exposed to that we need an intervention. We need outside experience and help in order for us to get over and through it. When you are repeatedly victimized, traumatized, that stuff stays with you, and sleep patterns are distorted. Eating is abnormal. Your emotions are all over the place. And it gets to the point where you become overwhelmed. You're so overwhelmed that, you know, some people go as far as suicidal thoughts. Some people lash out with violence and temper tantrums. Some have problems concentrating, holding jobs, maintaining relationships. Those are telltale signs that something is wrong, something is off. And if you've felt like that, experienced that for years, unhealthy anger where your anger lasts for more than 24 hours and occurs frequently 5, 6, 7 times a week, that should tell you something is wrong, something is off. There are people like myself who are trained to help people go through and become better for their experience and not continue to live and be persecuted by that experience. We need help, and it's not, you shouldn't be ashamed to ask for it.
I think you are absolutely right. And when we dived into this book, the case studies were case in point that what you just said and the fact that when children experience trauma, that it is a road to healing. And what's so good about your book is you make it clear that healing is possible. Just like with case study number 6, tell us what happened with Jimmy in his youth. Just give us a little bit of what happened with him that brought him to you.
Jimmy is not a typical traumatic survivor. He never was abused verbally, physically, anything like that. But he suffered trauma from a different perspective or a different level. From an earlier age on, he lost his father at 3 years old. His father was convicted of robbery and assault with a deadly weapon. And so for most of Jimmy's life, early life, his father was incarcerated. He grew up with brothers and sisters who were either part of gang violence and gangs. Some were killed in front of him. Jimmy was not one of these. He's not an outgoing. He's kind of a social recluse and very shy, introverted. And he lived with all of this, that which he saw, that which he experienced from walking in the neighborhood, being afraid to, you know, look one person in the eye for fear that he may get shot. Going to school and afraid that you could be bullied or beaten up. Violence was just a natural part of his life, and even more personally, violence seemed to pervade his family structure. So he grew up like this, sheltered, shy, introverted, and nobody knew how traumatized he was by what he had been witnessing on a regular basis.
Let's talk about what you just mentioned. In this case study, Jimmy came from a family. He had 4 brothers and 3 sisters. And I love the way you presented in this book that sometimes coming from a large family just presents more opportunity for loss, which he experienced. His sibling, his sister, one of the siblings that he felt the strongest emotional connection to, was killed in a drive-by shooting at an age of 12.
Yeah.
And after her death, you mentioned that Jimmy started to become socially withdrawn. When you're connected with someone that closely, that young, and you experience such a loss, and you carry that for years, it just presents more work, I'm sure,
that the victim has to deal with. But not only that, you mentioned in the book that some of his other siblings pursued criminal activities, which,
yes,
of course, in and of itself is another stressor for children and families. Three of his four brothers were involved in gang activity and were killed due to gang violence there, because that's a lot for a person to go. And
yes,
not only that, his remaining brother was developmentally disabled, which,
yes,
had many issues in and of itself for the family. How do you get through that, therapist? Share with us, how in the world can you get, that's a lot of loss for a child. Talk to us about
and,
that.
And yes, it is daunting. It is overwhelming. And each loss drove him deeper and deeper into this dark place, until when I met Jimmy, he had been staying in his room, would not come out. The windows were drawn, drapes were closed, not eating. When I saw him, he had dropped like 30 pounds from what he was a year earlier. Didn't socialize. He just lived in his room. And when I saw him, he was like, he had almost reverted back to that, like a child, like he was 5 or 6 years old. And this was a honor student, had full scholarship, and was, you know, went to college for at least a quarter or two, but just couldn't maintain because he was always the depression, the sadness, the emotional upheaval. He was reliving it every day. Every sound startled him. Somebody walk up behind him frightened him. It just took a toll. Where at the end, he was like a young Howard Hughes, and that's when I met him. And it is a work in progress. I still work with him, but he's made humongous strides. But it really takes a lot of patience and time to help them process their grief, their bereavement, their pain, their loss. It's time consuming, and it's not something that you can just rush through, because the impact that he's lost, he's going to feel for the rest of his life.
I am amazed as to what actually happened with Jimmy. And listen, if you don't have this book, go get this book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. As always, we have run out of time. It seems like when we start getting to just good part, it's time to go. But we will continue this case study number 6 next week from the book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. This book was written by my co-host, therapist Ira Lake. And so tune in next week to hear what happens to Jimmy. What did the therapist end up having to do to get Jimmy, or did he even have a successful healing? We will talk about that next week. Therapist, tell us, if we have listeners on the line that are saying, you know what, that's happened to me, I'm feeling those symptoms, I don't know what to do, how can they get in touch with you to start on their road to emotional healing?
They can call me directly at 714-376-8643, or go to my website, imtasik.org, empathic.org.
Well, you heard it here on the Marketing Pulpit, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing, written by co-host therapist Ira Lake, founder of Empathic Family Counseling Services. Please join us again when we will continue case study number 6 from Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. You've been listening to The Marketing Pulpit. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett.